Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Betsy Lewis. She's a radio show host and an author. She's written a book called Ancient Serpent Gods, and she also has, I think, a couple of books out now on predictions. Her website is www.betsylewis.com. I would like to welcome Betsy back to Ohio Exopolitics. And Betsy, how are you this evening?
Great. How are you, Mark? Great to be back on your show.
I'm doing good. Can we do a few questions from your predictions books?
Oh, you bet. You bet. You want to start with predictions?
Yeah, I just changed my mind here at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Well, that you're entitled. It's your show.
You have a book on predictions for 2016 and 2017, correct?
Well, the 2017 hasn't come out yet. I'm working on that one. But the 2016 and beyond is out. It's been out for some time. And in there, I predicted that Trump would win. I've made a lot of, you know, predictions that have already come true. So, yeah, that book's been out for some time.
How far back did you predict the victory of Trump?
Well, when he first started running, I started eliminating all the different people that were running, Bush and all the different people. I just started, you know, including Bernie Sanders. I said Bernie Sanders is behind the eight ball. He was born September 8th. And, you know, I just felt that that's a karmic number. He wasn't going to make it. Hillary, I figured it would come down to Hillary and Trump, but it was April, about the end of April, that I had a profound vision where I saw Trump, Donald Trump. It was January 20th, and I saw him taking the oath of president. It's a cold day. I saw him wearing a black, long wool overcoat, and I saw his wife, Melania, standing next to him in a lighter-colored coat. And the vision was so profound, so lucid, so clear, I knew that it was going to happen. I felt my spirit guides, my guardian angels had shown me this, you know, vision, and I stuck to it. You know, a lot of people were upset with me. You know, they said Hillary was going to win, and most of the psychics out there said Hillary, and I never went with Hillary. I just knew it was going to be Donald. I also looked at his astrology, and I looked at his numerology, and it all added up to Donald Trump being president. So you can't deny it.
No. I'm a big fan of Trump. That's great. So you do get visions at times. What other visions have you had? Tell us about your other visions, your other vision experiences.
Sure. Well, through the years, I've had visions of, like, Mount St. Helens. I had a vision of that. It was actually a dream, and that came true. I didn't know it was going to be Mount St. Helens, but I had a feeling that something was going to happen in those, you know, the mountains, the volcanoes in that area. And Mount St. Helens had been rumbling for a long time, and I just felt that it was going to go. But the vision was so real that I just knew it was going to be huge and devastating. I've had dreams of, sometimes I don't know how to interpret them. They're very symbolic, like 9/11. A year before 9/11, I had this vision. It was a dream, actually. Sometimes my dreams and visions are the same, I mean, because they're so clear. But I had a dream where I saw this huge apple tree. It was just a huge, giant apple tree. And all of a sudden, the leaves started to shrivel up, and the whole tree was sucked straight down into the ground and vanished. And I woke up with just my heart beating. I thought, what in the world am I being shown? And, of course, it you know, when 9/11 happened, I understood that it was showing me that it was going to happen in the Big Apple. New York is known as the Big Apple. And I felt the way that it was pulled straight down, that it was, there was more to it than what we were told, that it wasn't just airplanes flying into the towers, that there was probably an inside job where they were, you know, some kind of demolition that brought them down, straight down the way they came down. So, I just can't, it's hard to explain this knowing that I get. And when I get this feeling, I just know that, you know, something's going to happen, that it's going to happen the way I saw it or the way I feel it's going to happen. But, you know, it's, sometimes I wish I didn't have these dreams and visions, Mark. It really is, sometimes it's scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Are you predicting very cold weather in 2017?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, look at the weather now, and it's already started way before I thought it would happen. It's, we're going to have records set. Incredible weather, just snow and blizzards and cold. Some of the coldest weather the whole United States has ever seen. And I'll tell you right now, I live in southwest Idaho. I don't know how it is where you're at, but we're going to get a high next week of 7 degrees with a low of 8 below. That's how cold it's going to get here, and it's going to set records here. How about in your area?
Oh, the wind's starting to blow. We're supposed to get some snow squalls tonight. Do you ever do readings for people, or are you not that kind of psychic?
Oh, I am that psychic.
Okay.
Oh, well, since I made that prediction of Trump, and it, actually some news outlet did a story on me months ago about making that prediction. You can go to my website and click on that prediction and what I was saying about ISIS and the horrible things that were going to happen, but they did a story on me, and somehow it was picked up on, you know, different websites, and people started contacting me out of the blue, and I kept saying, how are you finding me? And they said, well, it says predictions 2016. That's how we heard about you. Or they'll say, I heard that you predicted Donald Trump would be the next president, and I had to contact you for a reading. So I've been very, very busy, and I feel very blessed to have these people contacting me and reading for them. I love to do.
You do that, then? They'll call you, and they'll set up an appointment or something like that?
Well, they don't call me. They contact me through email, and then I set up an appointment. It's an hour reading. I do an astrology chart for them, a very personalized astrology chart and numerology information. Then that will be about 12 to 14 pages. And
wow.
Then I tell them what I'm feeling, what I'm sensing. And many times I feel their spirit guides are coming through as well as my spirit guides.
That's very interesting. Now, do you ever do that? Have you ever done that on a radio show before where people call in and
get
readings?
I don't like that. The reason I don't do that is because most of the callers are saying, you know, when is my boyfriend coming back?
Yeah, right. You don't want to give him all that, right?
Well, I don't. You know, I just think that I'm not helping people, telling them about their boyfriend. You know, if it was something really important in their life, about a move or some major career change or something, I would do it. But mostly, like I said, your kind of shows, and I don't mean your show literally, but I mean, I've done that. I've had other people on my show that do that, and they're very good at it. But like I said, I'd rather not do it.
It's always about the boyfriend. Yeah, I know.
It is about the boyfriend.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get off that topic then. What motivated you to write a book on ancient serpent gods?
Ah, well, good question. You know, I've always been bugged. I mean, really bugged about all these books that are out there about ancient aliens, right? Including some of the authors that go way back that have written stories about ancient aliens. And I start thinking, I think there's more to the story. I started looking. I read a book by an English author. It was written in the 1980s, and he had this hypothesis that, you know, the dinosaur, which survived for maybe close to 200 million years, didn't die out. And I started thinking maybe there is something to that, because every civilization, every ancient civilization, has legends and stories of serpent gods that they worshipped, they taught them incredible things. You can go back to Buddhist, the Maya, the Aztec, the Egyptians, the Chinese had dragons. Like I said, just about every ancient civilization. And why is that? I mean, who would want to worship a lowly snake slithering around? There has to be something to it. And let's suppose that because the dinosaur was around so long that a certain species of dinosaur actually evolved. And that, think how long that they had to evolve into a superior being. That's a long time. You know, according to what we hear from archaeologists and pathologists and paleontologists, that modern humans have only been around for 300,000 years. But just suppose that I think they're wrong about that. But, you know, when you think about it, if we advance that fast, why not something like, you know, a dinosaur? And there are other geologists that have suggested that. Dale Russell, who's very famous for his Troodon species, thought that, you know, the reptilians weren't the sluggish, slow-brained, dumb creatures that most of us think of them. They were actually very quick-moving. They weren't cold-blooded. They were warm-blooded, we now find out. They were very intelligent. So why not? But the thing is, so many people have been abducted by serpent-looking aliens. And somehow I think, you know, these aliens are not aliens, that they're actually terrestrial beings, not extraterrestrial. And when you think about it, think about all the UFOs that have been seen coming out of the ocean, entering and exiting the ocean, right?
Are you saying that all extraterrestrial contact is really... Okay.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm saying that there are many species of aliens that are visiting us, but I think they are terrestrial beings that are that evolved from the dinosaur that actually live underground and have actually existed there for some time. And we hear about people that vanish out in the desert and all over the world. A lot of those can be explained by abductions, but there are many more. You've probably heard some of the authors that are out there that have talked about people that have vanished, just simply vanished. Where are they going? And you know the story about Dulce, New Mexico, which is probably one of the strangest stories with, I'm trying to think of the different people that claim they work there. So I think there's something to that. They described these beings that look very reptilian, and they were actually abducting people down there. They saw what looked like experiments on humans. And we know that many, many people have been abducted. They claim to be abducted anyway and experimented on. Phil Schneider is who I was thinking of. You know the story of Phil Schneider, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, Phil, and there was another person that worked for the government that saw these beings underneath Dulce.
There is a line of research in the UFO community that that says basically our planet is being ruled by these reptilians behind the scene, and that these reptilians are actually in charge of our governments and that sort of thing. So is that the kind of thing? That's what you're kind of going along with or saying?
Well, I am. I am. And okay. I'd like other people to maybe explore it more. You know, there's the story of the Anunnaki, which was supposed to have been a reptilian extraterrestrial race. And I'm not saying that maybe I'm right about the dinosaurs evolving, but maybe this race did come here and decided to stay here and go underground because of all the earth changes. And I think that's really a possibility. But I think with all these stories of ancient civilizations that, you know, the talk about these legends of reptilian people, beings, and some of them were good, some of them were malevolent, but some taught them incredible things. So they weren't all evil or mean. I think just like us, there's the good and the bad aliens.
There is a Hebrew word, and I think it's pronounced Tannin, and it means sea monster in the Hebrew, in the Canaanite mythology. And it's really interesting that the word that may derive, the root word meaning also can mean howling, which I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
So it's interesting when you start studying language, you start seeing at least what the people were thinking at the time.
Right. Well, you know, there's the story of the Al-Jinn, which is the genie, the Al-Jinn of Mideastern countries. And they were compared to reptilian serpent beings. Excuse me. But, you know, all over the world, they're are stories, excuse me for just a moment. There's stories of fairies, leprechauns, and the djinn. These are creatures that lived in a supernatural realm or underground within the earth. And a lot of times they would abduct humans, which is kind of interesting. So, you know, I think that so many legends are based on fact. They have to be. When you think about it, but, you know, it's kind of Occam's razor. You know, the simplest answer is the best answer. And I think we should employ that more because I think when you start connecting all these dots, you know, it does say that it's possible. You know, even in the Bible, you know, Adam and Eve, they were actually dealing with a serpent, right, that tempted Eve. So there's another story. Dragons of China, fire-breathing dragons. Now that could be, you know, a little bit embellished what they were actually doing. Maybe they were in, you know, there's stories in Indian texts, Sanskrit texts, that tell of incredible flying machines, incredible, what sound like nuclear wars, thousands and thousands of years ago. Where did all this come from? But there is so much. You know, there's stories of, there's an interior world. In fact, Admiral Byrd, when he took his trips to the pole, Arctic and Antarctic poles, this was during 1947, 1956. He said that he went into this hole and there were plants, there were green plants, you know, and that's not the poles that we know of, which are covered in snow. Is there some kind of interior world that we don't know about? I don't know. I think it's possible. I think anything's possible, Mark. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that you brought up that there are different traditions involved in relationship to these dragons. We've got a European tradition, an Oriental tradition, and there's even an Egyptian tradition. And I think the Egyptians had one giant snake or serpent in Egypt, and they called it Apep or Apophis, who was the personification of everything evil. Have you heard of that?
No, I didn't know about that one. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's also
isn't
very
that incredible?
That's very interesting. And the European dragons are depicted as living near rivers or having caves or underground lairs.
Right,
and they're said
right.
to have these armored hides. And the European dragons usually have wings,
yes.
which is interesting.
Well, so you know that many abductees have told that there are the winged aliens in UFOs that they do have, some have the wings, and some are more of the gray types. So maybe that is something they created on their own. They created the grays. But I think it's really interesting. There are all these different types of, you know, aliens.
Do you think it's possible that the whole idea of reptilians could be a psyop operation of something like the CIA? I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility.
Well, I don't know, but I think that they are working with our underground military or government. I think there is a clandestine group that know about these aliens and have been working with them and have allowed them to abduct humans. I don't think the abductions are going on like they used to. You don't hear about it as much.
Do you think that some of these reptilian creatures have the ability to shapeshift, as they're said to have?
I think they have the ability to create visions, to create holographic images. I think that many times the things that we see up in the sky are holographic. And holograms can be just as real as physical, material things. And you wouldn't even know what's real and what's not. I think some of these visions that have been created, religious visions people have had, that happened in, I think it was called Zaytun, happened, and people were watching this vision of Mary that came in to this church, flew up to the top, and then they saw visions of a baby Jesus and later visions of Joseph, and it kept changing. They would see doves flying in. They could smell incense, just incredible things. So I think a lot of that is holographic technology.
So do you think that there's some group out there that's projecting in these visions, these holographic projections, to influence people in a certain way?
Yeah, well, there are stories that that's what's going on, that there are vortexes in the Mideast countries, and that's why there is so much turmoil going on there. You know, the ISIS terrorists, you know, I think that's all possible. And that's with the bad reptilians and what they're trying to create.
You know, it's also interesting that dragons, they're sometimes depicted with multiple heads. I think that there's a Russian three-headed red dragon that I've seen before somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, interesting. You know that there are petroglyphs that have been found in the Southwest, which is really the Grand Canyon area. And these are areas that no one could get to, you know, that would have known how to create this. But they have found dinosaur depictions of incredible dinosaurs. And one is called Puff the Magic Dragon, which looks like a dinosaur with breathing fire, which is incredible. There's so many evidence that humans were walking with dinosaurs. So if you think that certain dinosaurs, you know, died out, and that might explain how a lot of these incredible megalithic structures were created. You know, if you had a brontosaurus that was like, you know, an elephant and moving these incredible stones, there wouldn't be a problem, would there, building all these different things?
That cave that you were talking about in Arizona that had the picture of this dragon, was the dragon actually breathing fire in this picture?
Yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. That's why they call it Puff the Magic Dragon. Yeah.
Do you remember, did they date that picture?
Well, you can't date petroglyphs, you know. These are carved on stone. No,
this is a carving, not a painting.
Yes. No, it's not a painting. Oh. It's actually a carved. Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah, right.
So,
and of course,
do the archaeologists think that there were dinosaurs in Arizona at the same time that early man was in Arizona?
Well, you know, according to what geologists and paleontologists tell us, that they didn't exist, that humans weren't around millions of years ago. But I don't believe that's true, because there is what they have found in Texas, a dry riverbed that shows the prints of a dinosaur next to human prints. And, you know, that's, they say, it's just a fluke, but I don't think so. And some said, well, maybe it's a different type of dinosaur that made human footprints. I don't think so. I mean, it's some of the ridiculous things they come up with. Like I said, if you use Occam's razor, you know, to think about it, use your common sense, and, you know, they had to have existed, you know.
I think archaeology likes to filter out things that don't fit into their worldview.
I think so.
And that way
they
can keep their worldview intact, and they don't have to try to explain all the anomalies that you and I are interested in.
Right.
They can just ignore them, right?
Right. Well, you know, another thing is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ica stones that were found in Peru. But there were like 11,000 stones that were discovered, and they were discovered back in 1562. You know, it goes back that early, and maybe some say as early as 1525 they found these stones, and others say they're fake. But these stones have been engraved, and they show dinosaurs with humans being eaten by dinosaurs, dinosaurs giving birth. That means that they were mammals, not cold-blooded reptilians that laid eggs. And one of the strangest things, it said that many years ago, during the 60s, paleontologists believed dinosaurs dragged their tails. But now scientists know that they lifted their massive tails off the ground while walking. And the Ica stones of Peru clearly show dinosaurs standing upright rather than having their legs splayed like a dinosaur. Well, how would they have known that back, you know, way back in the 1500s? They didn't know that. So there's too many things that point to the existence of dinosaurs. And like I said, if they had close to 200 million years to evolve, and I think that there are other examples of dinosaurs still alive in our world, that, like the stories of great big giant animals that, or sea creatures that live in lakes, you know, all over the world. There's story. I think every major lake has a monster, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So You mentioned Peru, which is a very interesting place because we have Puma Punku located there with these gigantic stones that, you know, they weigh maybe 500 tons and they're perfectly carved out in these H shapes and they fit together perfectly. And no one knows how these Aymara Indians could have built that kind of structure. And then there's also Lake Titicaca, which also has some interesting stuff as well.
Yeah, these enigmas all over the world. And it's not just in places like that. Every place in the world, there are pyramid-type shapes. We have the mound builders here in the United States. But everywhere, there are these enigmatic, you know, structures, these monolithic structures that, how are they moved? And we're still stumped. We don't know. Even the Great Pyramid stumps scientists, you know, today, how it was built.
So I personally think the human race goes back hundreds of thousands of years. I think the older civilizations, like, for example, I think the Great Pyramid is about 73,000 years old. And I think when it was built, the Great Pyramid, it was kind of designed by human beings that probably came from off planet, like Orion or someplace like that. But you're also saying there's a group of terrestrial reptilians. You're saying somehow they went underground and they stay hidden from us?
Yes, they do. I think that a lot of them exist underneath the Southwest because it's warmer there. They are reptilians. And Phil Schneider claimed that it was hot and humid down below when he went down there, that you know, they had dug into this tunnel and he was supposedly going down in this elevator shaft, and there they were. They were getting along with the aliens for a while, but I guess there was a firefight and he lost three fingers from some kind of weapon that they used on him, some kind of laser type weapon. And a lot of people thought he was just up in the night, that he was crazy and he made all this up. But there was, I think his name was Thomas, also, that was supposedly there working for the government years before Phil Schneider showed up and also talked about these reptilian beings. So, you know, that's kind of strange. But think about this, Mark. Supposedly, why wouldn't the government tell us that there's extraterrestrials? Unless some of these extraterrestrials are actually terrestrial beings and underneath us. I mean, how shocking would that be, that there are these reptilian beings that have been here for maybe millions of years right under our feet?
Oh, I don't think our government will tell us anything.
Well, they wouldn't tell us a thing. They still haven't. But, yeah, when you think about all these UFOs that go into water, they come out of volcanoes, they've been seen entering and exiting volcanoes. I mean, why would they go there? Why would they go within the ocean? Why would they do that unless they're terrestrial and they actually live here?
Well, they may have bases here, right?
It's possible. They could have, but you know, when you think about it, maybe there's a little more to it, though. Maybe they've been living here for some time. And I'm like I said, it's a hypothesis. You know, I'm just throwing it out there, and I want people to maybe start thinking outside the box. You know, let's start thinking about other things, that, you know, it's not all just extraterrestrials out there that came here and decided to stop on Earth and mingle with the, you know, the lowly human race, you know, when they're so advanced. I mean, I don't know.
You know, it's interesting you were talking about Phil Schneider. I think he died in a mysterious way.
He did. Yes.
They found his body, didn't they? He had been dead for like 4 or 5 days.
Well, and his wife said that he wouldn't have killed himself, that there was just too many weird things that were found, that like some kind of catheter that was wrapped around his neck to strangle him, and
right,
just weird stuff, and you know, which makes sense that he would have been murdered, because he was telling a lot of different stories about the government and what was going on.
He went on lecture. He talked about government cover-ups, black
mm-hmm.
budgets. He talked about UFOs. I think he talked about the Eisenhower administration.
Yes.
That had
yes.
allegedly had a treaty with extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about, you know, he was one of the first guys that I ever listened to in this whole UFO world. He's a very interesting
right.
guy. But
yeah.
I think someone thought he talked too much, evidently.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. And, you know, he talked about how our government has had these incredible machines that can vitrify rock and go right through it that they ended up getting from the aliens or the terrestrials. In fact, I think it was John Lear that actually said that they're called Terrans, Terrans, which I think is really interesting. But, you know, think about, you know, people hear these weird sounds underground that sounds like grinding, you know, rock. Could be Earth itself moving, but still there's just some really weird things, you know.
You know, and to get back to dragons just briefly,
mm-hmm.
there's a really interesting dragon sculpture in place called Varna, Bulgaria. And I was looking at this today. It was a family of dragons, and they were all standing upright, just like human beings.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. It's
That's
a beautiful
sculpture. Really fascinating. Wow.
Yeah, not on all fours, and I know, you know, who knows about the reptilians, but it's
mm-hmm.
when you look at some of these things, it makes you think anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and you know,
and now,
go ahead.
Sometimes
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Chinese dragons sometimes resemble snakes a little bit more. So there's a variation, I think.
Mhm. Yeah, there are. You're right. They're right. You're totally right. Yeah, it was Thomas Costello that was at the Dulce base in the 1960s, and Phil Schneider was, I think, in the 70s that he was at Dulce, New Mexico.
Wow.
And
you know,
I
that
guess
doesn't...
that, go ahead. I was going to say the Native Americans don't want to talk about the things that they see around there. They see some very strange things.
I don't blame them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want to talk about it.
You know, the 1970s, that doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it really was.
It was, Mark, it was. A really long time, yeah, true, yeah.
A lot of interesting things took place in the 70s.
Yeah.
I almost think we're in a quiet period. Like, in some ways, like there's not that much revelation of new material.
I think you're right. It's the same old, isn't it? It's just kind of regurgitated over and over. I hate to say, but you're right. You're so right. You know, it's, you know, we just don't hear many other new stories of the paranormal, UFOs, or...
There is an interesting collection of books by a guy named, I think his name is Claudius Alenius, best as
mm-hmm.
I can pronounce it, who said that in ancient times that Ethiopia was inhabited by a species of dragon, get this, that hunted elephants and could grow to a length of 180 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's incredible.
That I'll have to send you a link if I can
remember.
Would you?
I would. I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
It's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah.
So this may have been written during Greek times, you know, thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Vedic religion has something called the dragon or the Naga. And there's
the Naga,
an interesting there's an interesting story in the Vedic religion about something called the, how do they say it, the enveloper, the enveloper. It's a Sanskrit word. A Sanskrit word, vritra. It's and sometimes this enveloper, as they call it, will also be depicted as having three heads.
Mark, there's just so many mysteries out there. People that have disappeared, like I said, right now there are people disappearing in national forests. I mean, they just vanish. And I guess the people that work there won't talk about it, some of these cases. You know, they it's too bizarre. They just vanish in thin air. And some of these stories of children that have just disappeared and then they find them barefoot. Some are dead. Some are alive that don't remember what happened, but they could be miles away on a mountaintop. I mean, how would they get there?
That's weird.
There's no explanation for it. Just really bizarre things.
So what are your thoughts on Pizzagate?
I think there's been a lot of pedophile stuff going on, but I don't think that's just the tip of it. I don't think it has anything to do with pizza places and underground things going on. I think that was all just hoaxed, you know, the fake news going on out there. But I think there is a group of people, a very large group of people that are involved in satanic worship. I think it involves children being abducted. It's been going on. We know what's been going on with these priests for a long time, Catholic priests and pedophile activities. And, you know, they wanted to keep that quiet for a long, long time. But,
didn't they? Yes, of course.
Yeah. But it's still going on, and the Catholic Church still hasn't addressed it. You know, Pope Francis really hasn't addressed it or done anything about it. So that's, you know, they just want to shut it up, and, you know, they say in Washington, D.C., there's a lot of stuff going on. And in fact, MK Ultra, you probably know about mind control that was going on.
Sure.
There's a book out called Transformation of America. And the woman that was abducted and part of that experiment mentions Bush Sr. and Hillary Clinton involved. And not so much that it was Bill Clinton, but it was Hillary that was involved with some activities. And it's pretty scary. What she described, I don't see how anybody could describe it. And this book came out, I think it was in the 80s. It was Kathy O'Brien and handler. Yeah, Phil, I can't think of his name, but it was Phil something. And that book just shocked me. And, you know, when you think about all the people that have died around the Clintons, there's something to that.
There's
got to
be
something.
Book. There's a great book. Let me recommend a book for you. It's called Clinton's War on Women by Roger Stone is the author, and Robert Morrow is the co-author. It's like an encyclopedia. It's 300 or 400 pages anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing that it talks about, and you may have heard of this before, speaking about government corruption, is it. It talks about in the 80s when Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, there was a CIA agent named Barry Seal that was flying a C-117, a big prop plane from South America, and they were flying in cocaine. About $100 million dollars a month worth of cocaine. They would take the cocaine out of the C-117, and they would put it onto Learjets that were owned by Dan Lasseter. Now, Dan Lasseter was the guy that ran the Ponderosa Steakhouses. And
wow.
A very good friend of Bill Clinton, by the way. And they would fly these drugs all over the country and even, you know, throughout the world. And they would launder the money through the Rose Law Firm where Hillary worked.
Wow.
And this whole operation was being overseen by Bush Sr., who was, I think, the vice president at that time. And
oh,
like
my
I
gosh.
Said, they were bringing in $100 million a month. Well, this was the whole Nicaraguan Contra thing, because Oliver North was the guy that was, he was like second in command there, and they were taking part of that drug money, and they were buying arms to arm the people in Nicaragua that were fighting against the communists. So you probably remember the whole thing
mm-hmm.
with Oliver North, right?
I do.
That was all.
Yeah.
So that, if you want to learn that in detail, you can get that book.
Thank you. I will.
And
yeah.
To think that she was running for president.
Well, I know that's the scary thing. And people want to believe these fairy tales out there that, you know, everybody's just wonderful and Hillary's wonderful. But there are some dark, dark people out there. Our leaders aren't the leaders we think they are. They are, you know, sheep and wolves. Or they're wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm being dyslexic tonight, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
I think that we have just been hoodwinked by these people and the terrible things that they've done. And the one thing I've got to say about Trump, you may not like him. He's bombastic and he says crazy things sometimes because that's just the way he is. He's a Gemini with a lot of Leo going on in his chart. But one thing I've got to say, that he is not involved in any of these dark things that the Clintons have been involved with or the Bushes have been involved with, or, you know, they've all been in it. And when he said that he wants to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C., that's what he means. He knows what's going on. I mean, he's not dumb at all. He's quite bright. And, you know, I hope it doesn't, you know, I'm afraid that there might be some attempts on his life. I think he's going to be okay, but, you know, I'm worried about it because he knows too much. And like you said, he wants to get rid of these people.
So Trump is a Gemini. I didn't know that. I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, he's a Gemini. And so was JFK, John F. Kennedy.
Really?
Yes, he was a Gemini.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Gemini. Yeah.
So do Geminis end up with dangerous jobs?
Do you have a dangerous job, Mark?
I don't think so. No. But
No, but Geminis are excellent at writing and talking. Many of them are talk show hosts like you. In fact, George Norrie is a Gemini.
Really?
Coast to coast.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's the communication thing, right?
It is the communication thing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very, very interesting. Now, you've had a vision that showed Trump being shot at or something like that?
Well, I know I haven't had a vision about him being shot. I did have the vision of him winning, like the end of April, where I saw him winning and taking the oath of presidency on January 20th on a very cold, clear day in Washington, D.C., wearing a long black coat, wool coat, overcoat that he has. And I saw Melania next to him. She has a lighter coat on. So I had that vision back in April. And like I said, I stuck to it. When everybody else is saying Hillary is going to win, and I guess in a way those psychics were right because she did win the popular vote, but not the electoral vote like Trump.
Right.
So maybe they were somewhat right. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think that Bill or Hillary or any of the other people in our government will be prosecuted. Do you see Trump going forward with draining the swamp?
Well, I do think that others working with him, I think that he is a little, you know, I think that once he saw who they are and what they are, I don't think he knew. That's why he backed off. And he says, you know, that these are good people. You know, he made that remark. Well, he didn't mean it. He really didn't mean it. They aren't good people, and he knows that. But, you know, people can, who knows? He might have been threatened. I don't think things intimidate him much, but who knows what was said to him that he should back off. And I think his little talk with Obama, you know, they were only supposed to talk for a few minutes. They ended up talking, what was it, 90 minutes, you know, behind closed doors. So I don't know. I think there's a little bit more to it than that. But what I think with Trump being in office, and I hope people will give him a chance and quit being so depressed about Hillary losing, because it's the best thing in the world for people to see that he's, you know, Trump is going to change things. He's going to be a mover and a shaker, and he's already done some things, you know, good things. He is. He's going to get a lot of things done. He's not going to be a perfect president, but he's going to get a lot of good things done. He's going to bring more jobs back into the United States. Our economy is going to be good. I just see a lot of good things. And, you know,
well,
with all this go ahead.
Didn't he save 1,000 jobs that would have gone overseas from carrier?
Right. Yeah,
and
going
I think,
to Mexico. Yeah.
And I think there's going to be like $10 billion of investment from the Japanese. Now the Japanese want to come over here and invest in the U.S. And
right.
I think Apple is even talking about coming back to the U.S.
Yeah,
so these
right.
are huge, huge changes, very positive things
sure.
that have happened already.
Yeah. And everybody thought the stock market was going to go down. It's been up. It's been the highest it's been in years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want
so
to ask
people,
you,
stop.
I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something about, you talked about mind control. And I know we're running out of time here. But I think that people, you know, there's been, I've never seen people, you know, respond hysterically crying when they're, you know, when their person didn't win the election. So I'm wondering, what's your take on that? What's your take on that?
I think, you know, people are mind controlled. I think with the media right now, the news media, that's so much mind control for younger people. Look at the millennials and the Gen X people. It was mostly them that were crying over Hillary and depressed. Not all, but a lot of them. And I think that it was just this mind control set, you know, with Hillary. I've never seen anything like it. But I think we're getting mind controlled, and I think young people, I feel sorry for young people right now, and everything that's being bombarded at them with our media. I wish it didn't exist sometimes. The internet, which gives bullies a voice, and with what's going on with the news, constantly negative. And look at the negative spin they always give Trump. It, you know,
oh, yeah.
every time. You'd think it would be over by now, but no, they continue. And I think all this negativity, you know, when you get millions and millions of people thinking negative thoughts all the time, we're putting all that negativity in the earth. And those vibrations do something, you know, because thoughts are things and it's power. And negative or positive. And poor Mother Earth, right now she's shaking like crazy. We've got volcanoes all over the Earth that are becoming active. One of the biggest in Italy has become real active, you know, just everywhere. And these big earthquakes in the South Pacific, I'm worried about what's going on with Mother Earth. And I've made some predictions on my website, so they can visit my website and see my 2017 predictions, and they can see underneath that my 2016 predictions and what I said. So there's There's going to be a lot of things going on. And the weather, oh, my gosh. We're already seeing that, Mark. You know, crazy, crazy weather. It's going to get worse. We're going to have records broken. And I want people, especially on the East Coast, you know, it's going to get bad. And some of these areas in the South are going to get hit with floods again, major floods.
So your website is BetsyLewis.com. You've got
right.
the 26 predictions, the 2017 predictions, the book on ancient serpents. And I've got one of your books. It's up on my shelf. I'm not thinking of the title right now. But what other books do you have out? Tell people
okay.
about your...
Well, I've got Mystic Revelations of 13, which is all the strange things that have happened with 13, and especially our Pope, who is should be called Pope 13. I'm working on a book about numerology again with numerology, Mystic Revelations of 7 and 11, and part of my predictions in that book for 2017 will go in there because 7 is the end number of 2017. So we're going into a 7 year, which will be kind of interesting. And I've written Angels, Aliens, and Prophecy, too, which has about my own abduction and UFO experiences and time travel. There's a lot of good things in that. Earth energy, about honoring Mother Earth and what the indigenous people are teaching us about Mother Earth and reconnecting again to Mother Earth. Let's see, what else?
I forget
all my books.
the angels,
communicating
angels
with the other side.
Yes.
With that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's
angels
about
and
my...
Aliens. Angels and Aliens 2 is the one I think I have.
Oh, do you? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's got some interesting stuff in that, too.
That has your own experiences, right?
It does, yes. I was abducted along with my parents when I was 8 months old, and I've had other experiences. And my mother and I were both regressed by MUFON author and Earth Mysteries investigator, Ann Druffel, back in the 80s. So we told some interesting things about our UFO experience up in Idaho.
I'd like to talk to you again about that book someday.
Okay.
I'd love to
come back, Mark. Thank you.
I love that book. That's a great book.
Thank you.
And what's next on your list? Do you have another book in the works? Or?
Well, just finishing the one on the numerology, Mystic Revelations of 7 and 11. I know that both those numbers are really power numbers and part of the Illuminati numbers. So there'll be some interesting things in there. 7 is used, I think, 635 times in the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a
lot.
So
there's a lot to talk about with the number 7 and 11. You know how people see 11 all the time?
Yes.
Yes. You've probably seen it. You know, you start seeing, it's 11-11. What does that mean?
Yes. Yes, I have seen stuff like that. It's very, very, mm-hmm. very interesting. Well, Betsy,
yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on again. And
thank you.
Maybe we won't wait so long, and I'll bug you sooner, and we'll get you back on and talk about
great,
this kind of
Mark.
Stuff again. All right.
Thank you
have
so
a good evening.
Much. And, well, Happy New Year, too, to you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.